there. Jeez Louise! All right, what, you want to argue with me, stupid machine? Wants to be a pain in my butt today. All right. Okay, here we go. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And what shall we discuss?
I'd like to start with a dream that I had the other night that was, I thought was really cool. With the ground started shaking and then it stopped and I was like, okay, it's earthquake. And then it started again and I looked out the window and the mountain collapsed into itself. And I had a thought that, okay, we're not coming out of it this time. And everything started shaking and throwing us around, and then I'm like suspended, and like I was just frozen inside of it. And I thought, okay, this is something, I can't shake this, we're all stopped. And then you said, that's the point, that we're here to help you with the transition so you don't experience the trauma, so much of the trauma and drama of the transition. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that dream.
And your assessment?
Well, I thought it was really cool because, you know, it's basically what I've known before is that, you know, you help us so we experience less trauma and less drama during the shift.
Which even with the imagery in the dream, you allowed for all of this activity to be occurring around you, but not necessarily being affected, which in a manner of speaking is a metaphor for what is occurring and incorporating information in the midst of what is occurring, that you continue to view the world around you and you recognize actions that are occurring, some of which can be traumatic, but that you are not necessarily affected or bothered with what is occurring outside of you, for you do incorporate information, and that allows you to weather the storm.
So was it a message for what I'm going through now? Was it pertinent to what's going on now? Or was it just an overall message?
Both.
Because of the next wave that we're moving into? Or?
Partially. As I expressed in our group interaction, this present new wave expresses the potential, depending upon each individual, how they perceive it, to either be disturbing and bothersome and perhaps even traumatic, or fun.
I think I'm leaning more towards the fun.
It does incorporate a significant potential to be fun, dependent upon the individual's perception of what they are engaging and what they are experiencing. If the individual can perceive their experiences in this way, not so very seriously, and allow themselves an attitude of playfulness, it does incorporate a tremendous potential to be fun. But it could also be bothersome and distressing for some individuals that lean in the direction of viewing their reality in a more black and white manner.
Was the dream an encouragement to move me in more of the direction of fun?
Yes.
Which is what I want to do anyway, so I'm offering myself that encouragement.
Yes.
And was that you in the dream?
Yes.
So that was really cool. So I thought it was kind of like the coolest dream I ever had. So that was really cool. And then I had an impression the other day regarding repetition of our experience, and that it's tied into this wave of senses. But I don't really understand how that's connected, but something about how we repeat actions every day, and every time we repeat it is different in some way.
Correct.
And that it's tied into the senses, and that we'll learn more if we pay attention to our senses in these repetitions?
Partially, yes. That is a significant factor. And you are correct that you are very repetitious in each day with your experiences and with what you do. And in some capacities, you are very habitual. You generate many habits that your senses do play into considerably. But as I expressed, your senses are inputting information to you continuously. Every moment of your existence is interplaying with your senses, and you are inputting information with them. That is not to say that you are always paying attention to that information, but it does reinforce absoluteness, and in mundane situations that you engage and encounter in each day, even within your home. Your home is arranged in a particular manner, which objects within your home are placed in a specific manner, in a specific order, and the mere action of you walking through rooms within your home reinforces the absoluteness of sense data that you are offering to yourself continuously in repeated actions. This creates even more so of a black and white absoluteness of your reality. When you move through a room in your home, such as your kitchen, and you incorporate particular cupboards in your kitchen, and drawers, and the items that are stored within those cupboards and those drawers, and that they each incorporate specific items, manifestations in each of those locations, and you walk through that room each day knowing what items are within what cupboards, what drawers, and the solidity of all of that information, which, for some individuals, if a particular drawer in a particular cabinet in their kitchen was missing. It may be disturbing. Without engaging your thought mechanism, you engage your environment each and every day in a habitual manner that are engaging your senses in some capacity, and in that reinforcing the absoluteness of the information that there are a certain number of cabinets, there are a certain number of drawers, there are a certain number of manifestations in each of those and specific types without you even viewing them. You do not open the drawer several times within your day to check its contents. You know what its content is, but you reinforce that every day without even thinking. Your eyes take in the input of your environment every day.
So what can I do with this impression that I got? Where can I take that?
It is a matter of allowing yourself to be open to changes. Changes in your perception, changes in your environment, and allowing for the possibility of those changes, which also very much affects associations and attachments. Without actually analytically evaluating either of those subjects, without actually evaluating your attachments or your associations, you can be in another capacity addressing to them by generating that openness in relation to your senses. Even in actions that you engage, you generate a particular type of association with whatever you are doing, such as preparing food for your animals, or how you interact with them, or whether you engage a walk with them. You generate these actions in relation to your own associations, which are generated by your experiences, or what you have learned, or what you have been taught. Therefore, even an action as mundane and thoughtless as preparing food for your animals, which is also an action that incorporates habit, your senses are inputting information, reinforcing absoluteness in relation to that very mundane action that you do not even incorporate a thought process with. The bowls are a particular size, they are a particular material, they are placed in a particular location, they are generated in interaction with you at a particular time. They are all habitual actions that your senses are continuously reinforcing. Even the sound of the food is the same, or you perceive it to be the same. Very mundane actions, very routine actions that are habitual, that are not as absolute as you perceive them to be, but you have placed them in an absolute expression. The food itself incorporates a particular shape and size and texture, which may actually fluctuate, but you do not perceive any fluctuation. You perceive it to be precisely exactly the same each day, continuously, with no deviation.
So allow for the possibility of something different.
Yes.
Is that what Hunter's been trying to tell me with the walks? Because I have an attachment to walking with the dogs, and that it's necessary, and that it's good for both of us. And lately, if I start from my neighbors, he runs back to the house, and I have been aware of that the walk's not as necessary for them as my association to it is. Is that part of it?
Partly, yes.
What's the other part to it?
This offers you an indicator of some of your associations, which also can carry into attachments that you're not necessarily think of, as I expressed, such as you expressed in that statement that the walk is good for them and good for you.
Right.
Which, if you define that more specifically, it is more than an association that it is good for you. It also moves in a partial conjunction with your own attachments in relation to body consciousness, appearance, health, which some of those aspects you attach to who you are, not merely what you do. For most individuals do include a partial attachment of who they are in relation to their appearance. Your appearance is not who you are, but you very definitely do generate a portion of an attachment of appearance that you do associate with who you are. Therefore, even in actions such as incorporating a walk, has other reaching implications that when you are not so absolute with it, when you allow more of an openness of your perception to consider other possibilities, it allows you to relax those associations and those attachments and address to them without generating a concentrated evaluation or analyzation of the associations and attachments themselves. Therefore, you are generating many actions simultaneously.
Which I've been working on.
Yes.
Which is what kind of prompted the dream?
Yes. which is significant. And all of that does tie into your senses also. Poetin, it incorporates your sense of touch, which, let me express to you, your sense of touch is much greater than what you think of as touch. For it includes all of the feeling sensations that occur with your body consciousness.
Like when you get chills?
Yes. Yes. Or even as you walk, you are generating certain stress factors with your body consciousness in your footfalls. Not stress in a negative manner, but stress in a literal expression of any contact with any other object in relation to the body consciousness creates a stress point. And even the action of walking creates a stress point with your body consciousness in relation to the ground that you are walking upon, and therefore involves your sense of touch. Any action that involves any sensation with the body consciousness involves your sense of touch, which inputs information. Walking is good. Why is it good? For walking is attached to the body consciousness and health and appearance and generating a more efficient functioning of the body consciousness. This is a very strong association.
But not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Like the dogs really just don't seem to want to walk recently. Is that just helping me break down that association?
I would express that in some capacity, walking is beneficial. Mm-hmm. But not absolutely, and not always.
And that's what we're trying to show.
Yes. That what you are generating in a black and white absolute statement with yourself, walking is good. Period.
Right.
What you are drawing to yourself in information is that this is not such an absolute statement, that it is not that black and white. Walking is good as a statement at times, yes. Always, with no exception, absolutely, not necessarily.
So it's showing me to follow more of my, what I want to do.
Yes, and also listen to your intuition. For your intuition will prompt you in relation to what is to your greatest benefit.
So I've been allowing myself to sleep more if I want to sleep and not go on a walk and feeling better. Is that why?
Yes.
So allow myself to sleep a lot if I feel I need to sleep a lot.
Yes.
And
which also, once again, addresses to, without analyzation, another attachment concerning productivity.
Right, so I've been working a lot, so break through that attachment?
Yes.
Because I've been, just feeling a little lost recently. And, it's all tied into that, with productivity, money, generating income. And, some things I feel like it's such a great idea, and then it seems to run into a roadblock and go nowhere that I'm struggling with, because that means that I can see the idea moving in a different direction, or does it mean that I don't need to do anything right this minute and to let that go? And
I would express that it is considerably dependent upon the subject and the timing. That it is not a blanket statement overall or in general, so to speak. That in one moment you may generate an idea of some action to do. And in that moment it may seem inspiring and exciting, and it may motivate you to begin some action in that direction. But let us say very quickly that changes, and you're not necessarily motivated, and you lose interest. What is important is to be paying attention to what you are doing in that. It is not a matter of automatically discounting any of the subject, in a manner of speaking, or as an example, not discounting the initial excitement or inspiration that may have been very genuine, not discounting the initial movement into a direction by expressing, perhaps I actually did not want to do that. Not necessarily, perhaps you did, but lost interest relatively quickly. And it may be that subject that initially sparked you momentarily was merely a presentment of an experimental idea, which may actually occur frequently, especially now. For you are experimenting. You're experimenting with information, with your world, with what you are doing, with your senses and the input that they are offering you, and with what you want to do.
To move that, specifically for me, is that where I'm moving myself to?
Yes. Therefore, it may actually frequently occur that you may initially generate an excitement and an inspiration in one direction and also lose interest in that same direction quite quickly. It is not to discount that, for that is a part of the process. It is an experimentation, in a manner of speaking, with all of the different subjects that possibly excite you, but also narrowing that excitement in directions that actually interest you. There may be many subjects that initially excite you, but do not necessarily entirely interest you, and therefore do not hold your attention. And this, I would express that much of this wave will be experimenting. Therefore, much of this wave will not necessarily move in continued directions, but more so in many, many, many different presentments of possibilities that offer you the opportunity to evaluate within yourself and offer you the opportunity to expand, not necessarily by entirely engaging certain directions, but merely offering yourself the recognition of possibilities that you could engage in different directions if you were so choosing.
I guess it makes me feel a little lost that I won't find one that, you know, I guess I feel since my unemployment's coming to an end that I should be attracting something to move more into a solid direction. And I feel like there's somebody that aren't solidifying that it's not going to happen, or, and, you know, and then I go back to, well, maybe it doesn't need to happen, and I just feel a little lost. And
which is understandable, for it can be somewhat confusing in an experimental time framework. For you are correct, it is not as solid as you are accustomed to, but that is a significant part of the point, that to this point, most of you, almost all of you, yourself included, have moved through your focus, through your experiences, viewing directions as being solid. That your chosen directions of actions are, in your perceptions, in a manner of speaking, almost as solid as a table that stands before you. The table is solid, it is unmoving, it is what it is. Your directions are very similar. You choose a subject, you move in that direction, it is what it is, and you do what you do in it. And there is little flexibility. Choose a career, engage it, do it, and continue with it. Pick a subject. Stay in one direction. This is stability. This is responsible. This is attachment, attachment, attachment.
So I'm trying to get myself to let go.
In a manner of speaking, remember, attachments are not necessarily in themselves bad.
Right, but to loosen my grip.
Yes. That they are also not so black and white and absolute. And that they create considerable hindrances and lack of freedom when you generate them being so black and white and absolute. And this, what you are offering to yourself, is that directions are not as solid as they once appeared, and that you can actually engage that without becoming frightened. That you can actually trust yourself and know that you will provide whatever you want and you choose for yourself without that absoluteness. This is another aspect of moving into freedom. But initially, it can appear, at the least, confusing, and at the most, fearful.
Well, I think I'm doing pretty good with it.
I would agree.
I was only swept away by it. But, you know, I like my little check-in to hear you say that I'm going to be okay.
And you are. And in this, it also is a time framework that promotes imagination and promotes engaging your own directions, creating your own directions, not fitting your direction into some outside direction.
I'm kind of working on that with fast friends, with keeping in mind what I want to do and moving forward with that. And it seems to be part of what you're talking about. Seems to be working.
Fit the outside to the inside rather than the reverse. Rather than fitting yourself to what is outside, fitting the outside to you.
And that seems to be what I'm moving towards, what I'm doing. So, it's been a year since my mother died. Did she know she did it?
No.
Really? Does it usually take like years?
That is not uncommon. Remember, time in that state is very different from time in your state. What appears to be, or what you experience as 6 months, or a year, or 2 years, in your reality, may actually be experienced in that state as perhaps several weeks, or in some situations even less.
Well, going back to the repetition, I had an idea that maybe somehow was connected to how our essence creates all of these different focuses to experience the same thing a little differently, that we're doing the same thing in a much narrower way with repetition in our experience.
I would express that in your focus now, in relation to shifting in a manner of speaking, you are generating not less, but more. For what you are doing in a manner of speaking is condensing that type of experience into one focus, rather than many focuses.
So it's the same kind of idea?
Yes. But rather than generating many focuses, exploring different types of experiences, perhaps of the same subject, or different angles of experiences of similar subjects in shifting in one focus. You are generating many of those types of diverse experiences, therefore expanding more, allowing yourself more capacity to experience, and more ability to address to that type of diversity, and therefore it is, in a manner of speaking, reverse of what you expressed. Rather than being less than or narrower, it is more expanded.
I've also got this feeling that the more I slow down, the slower I go, the faster I'm learning and expanding lately.
I would agree. For the less distraction you can bring. When individuals, in your terms, move swiftly or fast, generally they are generating many, many actions. The more actions they engage, the faster they must move. To generate the ability to accomplish many actions in short time frameworks, you must be engaging all of the actions quite swiftly. But that creates a significant state of being of distraction. For in doing so, you do not actually genuinely pay attention to any of the actions. You pay partial attention to all of them. Whereas, the more you slow your movement, you may begin to notice not merely the more you input, therefore the more you generate clarity and understanding, but the faster time seems to move.
The more I slow down, the faster time seems to move.
For you are genuinely paying attention to whatever you are engaging in each moment. And therefore, you are not paying attention to time itself. And it appears to move much more swiftly.
Hunter has been very fearful of the floors lately, and he was moving around the living room fine, which is a hardwood floor, and we go around the corner to eat his food, and then when I put the rug down in the living room, then he became fearful of the floors that were outside of the rug. And so I was wondering if the message there was unfounded fears to me, too, that I'm paying attention to unfounded, that I'm being fearful of things that I don't need to be.
Partially. I would express that it is more significantly imagery in relation to the ideas of associations, those that you have that appear to provide you with more traction, and those that you do not have yet that seem more slippery.
That I don't have of what yet? The ideas and associations.
But
I'm moving towards?
Yes, for you may be generating new experiences that you have not formulated an association with yet. And that can be slightly more slippery. There is not an absolute association yet. Therefore, the tendency is to move back to those established associations, for they are more solid and you know them and you are familiar with them. You know what to expect, even such as your association with Wolfie. It is definite. It is solid. You know what to expect. Therefore, it also generates an aspect of safety. You do incorporate that metaphor of traction with what you know. Whereas there is less traction, and it can be somewhat more slippery in what you do not know, or what you do not incorporate a solid attachment to, or a solid association with. That is more gray, and you do not always know what to expect in generating different choices or different directions, different expressions. They can be less safe.
But I feel like I am doing good and paying attention to that and opening up.
I would agree.
Is there anything else I can do to help that process?
You can engage the imagery that you are presenting to yourself with the door. The dog is expressing uncertainty or even a mild fearfulness in relation to actual physical conditions. Rather than reacting to his behavior, and rather than dismissing his behavior as unfounded, you can address to you through addressing to him by generating an allowance and by being nurturing.
I thought I was being nurturing by, you know, if he didn't want to come in, not forcing him to come into the other rooms. Allowing him to stay where he's comfortable.
But what is the definition of nurturing? No. The definition of nurturing is encouraging to grow. How are you encouraging growth if you are allowing to maintain the same?
Well, I'm not, but I thought I would be moving against it by forcing it.
I am not expressing forcing, but encouraging to grow. Therefore, perhaps engaging some brief activity, perhaps once or twice within your day, of sitting upon the areas of the floor somewhat close to him, and in that sitting position, moving slowly and slightly, therefore encouraging him that it is safe to engage the fourth, not forcing, but merely demonstrating an example in an encouraging manner, and perhaps even generating some added element of enticement to encourage him to join you in those areas of the floor that he does not perceive to be safe.
And that it also encourages me.
Yes.
I was coming, going to work the other morning, it was dark out, and I came over the hill, and in the middle of the road was a mother deer and just like four baby deers. And before we talked about deer symbolizing gentleness, but with the mother and the babies, is that like making the gentleness more important, or
and the nurturing aspect?
And the nurturing is encouraging as well.
Yes.
And so, is there any other way that I can encourage myself to grow when I'm not doing that?
I would express that you are generating a considerably effective and efficient direction as is. You are paying attention. I would express that in paying attention to your creatures as a reflection, that a manner in which you can be nurturing yourself can be reflected in generating actions in being nurturing with them, each of them.
Because Google seems to be getting the message that they're all equal. And Hunter, Sassy seems to be trying to play with Hunter. Is she encouraging him to grow?
Yes.
Okay. And
or rather, to be less rigid.
To be less rigid. Is she attracted to him, or is she just trying to help him come out of his...
Define attracted.
Well, is she more drawn to him than Google? To his energy?
Not necessarily, but there is a different interest.
And, you know, she tries to play with both of them. Is it, you know, in, as people, we tend to feel bad that they're not playing back. But is she still enjoying, is she still getting something beneficial out of that interaction for herself?
Yes.
Because, you know, we tend to feel sorry for her that they're not reciprocating the way we think they should.
Correct. But you are also correct that that is people, I think.
Right.
And that she is generating her own satisfaction in those actions, regardless of whether they choose to participate in a manner that you perceive would be appropriate or not.
Mm-hmm. And with Bubba, he's managed again to create a period of time not working, which again is creating the challenge with me working with that. And I guess I'm just wondering what we're both doing with this situation. I'm creating him still living there and now not working on top of it, which I consider to be a setback. And he's creating still staying there and creating not working. And it just seems like we're on a hamster wheel here.
And I would pose questions to you. What do you genuinely want in this situation? What do you perceive prevents you from expressing or creating what you genuinely want? And what do you perceive, or what could you evaluate, is your payoff in this situation? What are you providing yourself with as a payoff?
As far as him staying there?
Yes.
Well, I recognize that when I'm working, I do like him being there with dogs. And one solution I came up with was to finish off the outer building so he would be out of my house but still be close enough to be with the dogs. And so I thought that was one creative solution. And I may do that in the spring, but the cost of it kind of delayed that a bit. So I think that's one payoff, knowing that he's there. But, I don't feel the complete freedom that I want to feel in my own house with him being in my house. And I don't feel that he's growing towards being independent. I know part of it's an association with the longer he stays there, the longer he's, the more he's going to get attached to being there and thinking that I'm supporting him and not want to move out. So longer with him being there, the more I think he's going to want to stay there.
Which returns us to the first question.
The only payoff I can see is that he's there to take care of the dogs. He doesn't really help me in any way. I did take my card about away from him, so he's not draining my account. But he still appears to me to be 99% of a hindrance to the 1% of a help that he is.
Which returns us to the first question.
About the payoff?
No.
Oh,
that was the last question.
The first question.
The first question is, what do you actually want? What do you genuinely want?
I want to be in my house alone.
And what prevents you from doing
that? Him. Being in my house.
But it's not him. Therefore, what prevents you from generating what you want? What is hindering you? What is...
Well, thinking that he couldn't support himself.
And is that your responsibility?
No.
what is holding you in this position. I will express that I would charge you in this time framework until our next meeting to genuinely evaluate these questions. What the genuine answer for you to these questions are. What do you genuinely want? What is preventing you from generating what you genuinely want? And I will offer to you another payoff that you generate from his continued presence, and therefore will also offer an additional question. Another payoff that you generate from his presence is an outlet of energy.
For me?
You generate an outlet of your energy in relation to him. In a manner of speaking, you use him as a method to release energy. Now, the manner in which you are releasing energy is through frustration or irritation, but nonetheless, it is an avenue of releasing energy. Therefore, the additional question that I will pose to you that you can evaluate is, how could you generate a different method of releasing energy that would be equally as effective but more beneficial to you? Or in genuinely evaluating each time you generate even a minor frustration or conflict with him, you are actually allowing yourself to engage an avenue of releasing energy. But the charge now is to evaluate that and to discover, how could you express a more effective, a more beneficial manner of releasing energy that would also allow you to answer the first questions more in keeping with what you genuinely want? I would express that it partially does involve responsibility, what you perceive to be responsibility, being the responsible individual, and not merely in relation to him. Also in relation to the animals. And as you can be obviously aware, it also does include expectations, which are directly linked to your own attachments. What should be, what must be, what is responsible, what is independent. These are all related to your own attachments what you perceive within your guidelines for you, which are being projected to him, what he should be also. But the most important factor is these three questions of what do you want, what is preventing you from generating what you want, and it is not him. That is not accepted as an answer.
Right.
And what can you do to generate a different payoff, a different outlet?
Okay, and with that, our time is up.
Very well.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. I shall be greatly anticipating our next meeting.
Me too.
And your progress, as always. And I shall be with you, encouraging you, as always, also. In tremendous affection to you, my dear friends. And in great supportiveness of your accomplishments. And work.
Witch girl. The witch girl.
Stop that, stop that, stop that. Stop that. Things are not cooperating with me today. Look at the supportiveness of your accomplishments. And what?
Witch girl. The witch girl.
Stop that, stop that, stop that. Stop that. Things are not cooperating with me today. Look at the foolishness of your accomplishments. And what?
Witch girl. The witch girl.
Stop that, stop that, stop that. Thought that things are not cooperating with me today. Look at the foolishness of your accomplishments. And what?
Witch girl. The witch girl.